Isaiah chapter 9, this, we'll give a little context here, a little background. We're very familiar with verse 6 of chapter 9. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. This passage happened in Isaiah's day. Isaiah lived about 700 years before Jesus was born. Okay, 7 centuries before Christ came, Isaiah lived, and he was a prophet who spoke to God's people the word of God. And Isaiah gave some very amazing prophecies, including many about the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in chapter 9 is one of his most famous prophecies on the birth of Christ. And it was a message of hope to Israel during a really dark time in their existence. It's also a message of hope for us today. So what was going on in Isaiah 9? Just briefly, they had a wicked king. He was one of the sons of David. His name was King Ahaz. This is after Israel had split into 2 nations, Israel to the north and Judah to the south. And King Ahaz was a wicked king over the south, over Judah, where Isaiah lived. And Isaiah ministered and prophesied in that day. But King Ahaz was so wicked that he changed the worship of God. He brought a new altar in and moved God's brazen altar to the side. And he made offerings to other gods. He even burned his son as a child sacrifice to false gods, the way that the Canaanites had done in that land. And that's one of the reasons God had exterminated the Canaanites and drove them out of the land and brought Israel in. And so King Ahaz is kind of reinstating the evil practices of the Canaanites. And when the Assyrian Empire rose up, he turned to them for help instead of trusting in God. So, really quick, a quick summary here is it's a day when you've got bad leaders in charge. It's a day when the leaders are disappointing the people and leading them astray from God. It's a day of politics, of fear, and not looking to God. So we can see that's not real dissimilar to our day. A day when people need hope. A day when people may look to Democrats or Republicans to kind of get us out of this mess. And into that dark period, Isaiah comes and speaks a message of hope to God's people. That their deliverance is not going to come from the Assyrians that King Ahaz is looking to for help. And their help is not going to come from the wicked King Ahaz, even though he's a son of from David's line. Isaiah surprised everyone when he said that your help is going to come from a child who's going to be born. A child is going to come from God. God is going to help his people, but it's not going to be in the way you expect. It's not going to be this king or that king or this political party or that party, but the Lord himself will send a child. We need that message today. As people are looking over here or looking over there, what makes some sense of this mess for me? Maybe this will be what helps us. Or, I'm going to put all my stock over here. And God surprises us again, and he silences our wanderings and saying, no, I'm going to save the day through a child who is to be born. So Isaiah comes and he gives us a promise of a child king here in Isaiah 9. And if you'll look at verse 6, we'll start there. Isaiah writes, "For to us." Now I want you to notice those words if that part hasn't ever stood out to you before. To us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. He's given by God. And the government will not be on King Ahaz's shoulder. It won't be on the wicked Assyrian Empire's shoulder, or the Democrats, or the Republicans, or the Communist Party, or whatever. The government will be on this child's shoulders. I want you to get that. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father,
Prince of Peace. As Isaiah speaks about this child, I want you to see that in the Bible times, a name would reveal your character. And so Isaiah gives four titles or four names that this child king is going to embody. The first is Wonderful Counselor. So kings would surround themselves with counselors. King David had a famous counselor, Ahithophel. All right, he was famous for giving wise advice. Kings would rightly and wisely surround themselves with the wise men of the day to give them counsel. But notice that this child who's going to rule, he will be his own counselor. Amen? For who is there who can counsel God? Right? Romans 11 kind of, Paul said, you know, who can counsel? Who can give counsel to the Lord? This child who will be born will be his own counselor. Such is his wisdom. Wonderful comes from the word for miracles, signs and wonders. And so, Miraculous Counselor is this child's name. He is a king who counsels himself with the miraculous power and wisdom of God. This child is equipped. That's his character. The next name or title Isaiah gives us is Mighty God. Can you imagine a baby to be born? We've had some babies born in our church in the last few weeks. To look at a little baby, they're so sweet, they're so tiny. And this baby that Isaiah is prophesying who will be born in Israel will be called Mighty God. A child, a man, who is God Himself. What a prophecy, right? This is unbelievable. It's amazing. A child who is Mighty God. Now, if you say, well, maybe Isaiah didn't really mean God in its full sense right here. Over in chapter 10 and verse 21, Isaiah uses the same phrase, Mighty God, and he uses it for Yahweh, the Creator God. And so that sets the meaning here in chapter 9. This child is God in flesh. What's the next title Isaiah gives us in verse 6? Everlasting Father. First, look at the word everlasting. He is eternal. He cannot die. He is. Like God spoke to Moses at the burning bush, my name is I am, not I was or I will be or I, you know. No, He is the God who exists, who is. And Jesus, the child who Isaiah is prophesying, will be called Everlasting Father. Now, He doesn't mean Father in the sense of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. A Father is used here in this verse to mean a leader of government, kind of like George Washington is called the father of our nation. And so this child who's going to be born will be an everlasting leader of the people of Israel, the Everlasting Father. D.A. Carson's notes says that he is a king who protects and provides for his people. That's the sense of Everlasting Father. And the fourth title here is Prince of Peace. Now, we think a prince, a son of a king, and a prince is just a word for a ruler in the Bible a lot of times. And so he's a ruler who will bring peace. Now, Jesus, when he came, he didn't bring peace the first time he came. He said, I've come to bring a sword. I've come to stir things up because not everyone's going to believe. And so he's the dividing line between believers and unbelievers. And yet, before it's all said and done, this child, who we know is Jesus Christ, will bring peace. How will He bring peace? By reconciling us to God, those who believe. What about those who don't believe? What about those who won't bow their knee to this child? He will crush their rebellion and therefore bring peace. So peace will come whether you are saved or whether you're crushed. All rebellion will cease through the ministry of this child king. One way or another, by being saved or by being judged, when the dust clears, guys, listen, there will be no wannabe kings but God Himself. There will be no one who refuses to bow the knee. There will be no one who, in this universe God has made, will say, maybe there's a better idea than what God has. This child will bring it to God's intended conclusion. And God's enemies will be smashed. And God's people will be rescued. And there will be peace forever because of this child king. Now, in verse 6, we see here he's the child king. But look at who he is in verse 7. Of the increase of his government spread throughout the earth from Israel. And of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, David's kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, that is the God of the armies of heaven. The zeal, what does zeal mean, guys? The passion, the excitement of God will do this. I love that. God is not a boring God. God, when He speaks of bringing His Son, this child king, into the world, Isaiah is writing this down. He's prophesying what he sees. And when he gets through with this great prophecy, he says, God is so excited when he thinks about this child king that's coming. The zeal of God. Can you imagine God stirred up with His passion? I mean, if He had palms, they would be sweaty, right? I mean, He's a spirit. He doesn't have a body, you know. But God is excited. He's not like, well, this is the plan. And no, He's fired up about His Son. You remember when Jesus was baptized and came out of the water? God spoke from heaven, this is my beloved Son. I'm so pleased with Him. God loves His Son. He has set His Son at the center of the universe to make it all about Him. All things exist for the pleasure of Jesus Christ. This child, he's not only going to be God in verse 6, but in verse 7, he's a son of David. He's a man. There's so much theology here in this Old Testament passage. So verse 6, he's God. Verse 7, he's man. And he rules from David's line. Do you remember how King David received a promise from God? Remember David said, God, I'm going to build you a house. It's not right for your Ark of the Covenant to be out there in a tent. And I'm living in this palace. I'm going to build you a great house. And God, through the prophet he sent to David, he said, I never asked you to build me a house. I mean, the heavens that can't hold me, right? He said, but here's what I'm going to do. David, I'm going to build you a house, a dynasty of kings, and your son will always sit on the throne. And one of the sons from your line, David, will sit on the throne of Israel, and he will reign forever. There will be no end to his kingdom. And so Israel was, wow, our king has just got a promise from God that his sons are going to rule forever. And they looked for that Messiah. King Solomon came along, and man, he looked promising at first. He was so wise, but then he started getting women from everywhere. And they brought him down to worship other gods. Well, he wasn't the Messiah. He wasn't the son of David. You know, and the next king, and the next king. In today's passage, King Ahaz. Man, it's not him, is it? Here he is burning his children to false gods. And all the kings of David let the people down. And Isaiah says, but there's one coming, and he's not going to let us down. There's a child coming, and he's going to rule with what? Justice and righteousness. He will be a good leader. Isn't that what we want? We want a benevolent king to rule us and protect us from our enemies and to do what's right. And Isaiah says he's coming, guys. Just hang on. A child is going to be born. Verse 7. He's mighty God and he's man. He's the God-man. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Wow. Now, I started in verse 6, but Isaiah's prophecy, the first 5 verses tell us what that child is going to bring. Before he mentions the child, he kind of poetically tells us what that child is going to bring. So will you look with me in verse 2, and we see that the first thing that this child king is going to bring is light. Isaiah 9 verse 2, it says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. Commentator Motyer says that these promises are so sure. This hope is so sure that it's all given in past tense as if it's already happened. This is a Israeli idiom. It's a way of writing. It's so sure, I'm writing it in past tense, even though Jesus is not going to be born for 700 and something more years. He says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. That's the first thing this child king is going to bring. He's going to shine the light of God into the darkness. A light has come from God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know in John, the Gospel of John says the light has shone in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. But in chapter 3 he says, this is the verdict. The light has come, but men loved the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. Like turning on the light in the middle of the night if you got a bug problem, right? What are those bugs going to do when you turn on the light? They're going to run away and hide in the darkness. And the Bible says that's the way it is when Jesus comes into the earth. He is the light from God. He is true. And we don't like it because we're evil. And we run and hide like Adam and Eve when they sinned, hiding in the bushes. And you can't hide from God. Ask Jonah. You can't run away. But this child is going to come and show us what truth is. He's going to shine light. He's going to guide our steps. He's going to show us the way. That is what this child is going to bring. Amen? We need the light. Could our world use the light from God? Would you agree? Would you watch the evening news? Would you look at the media that's being put out? And would you agree with me that there's darkness in our world? There is great darkness in our world. And Isaiah sets hope before us today that a child is going to bring light into this darkness. The second thing the child is going to bring, look at verse 3. He's going to bring joy. I love this. This is a message of joy and hope. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. Do you see the words in this verse? Joy, rejoice, joy, glad. It's like harvest time when all the crops are coming in and the farmers would celebrate and rejoice. This is what this child king is going to bring. He's going to turn up. He's going to amp up the joy from God. In a world of brokenness and sadness and suffering, we get hurt. We grieve. Some of you may be grieving this holiday season, but this child from God will bring joy. Not a joy that changes the circumstances. There's still going to be suffering till Christ returns. But He will give us joy to get through our suffering. The joy of the Lord is our strength, the Bible says. And so this child is going to bring us joy. Our God is not a dull God. He is the source of true and lasting joy. The Bible says in Psalm 16:11. Speaking about God, it says, in your presence, there is fullness of what? Joy. In God's presence, there is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Are you looking for pleasure? There is pleasure in this world, but it comes with a hook in it. It's bait. And there is pleasure in sin, the Bible says, for a season, but it always lets you down. It brings death when it's finished. But the God who made us is the source of eternal joy. He is the one who satisfies us eternally. Our God satisfies us forever. He is the treasure, the one who makes our hearts glad in Him. Look at verse 4. What's the third thing this child king is going to bring? He's going to bring freedom. Verse 4 says, for the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. What's the day of Midian? That's in the book of Judges when Gideon, with just 300 troops, God uses them to give a great victory for the people of Israel. And this child is going to bring a great victory like on that day. Israel, in this time when it was written, was about to be oppressed by the Assyrian Empire. But Isaiah says, that's not the final word. Hang in there because a child is coming and he will break the oppressor's rod. And I want you to know today that because of this child king who has been born, his name is Jesus,
There is freedom from every chain, every addiction. This child can set us free. Amen? Jesus Christ breaks the power of sin. Hallelujah. The child, Isaiah said he's coming and he's going to bring freedom. And the fourth thing in verse 5, he's going to bring peace. Look at how it's kind of a poetic wording here in verse 5. It says, for every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. What in the world does that mean? It means the soldiers will burn their army gear because they won't need it anymore. Their boots and their blood-stained armor will be burned as fuel for the fire because we won't need weapons anymore. We won't need battle gear anymore because the Child King has ended war. Psalm 46, it's a beautiful psalm. It says that, you know, be still and know that I am God. Well, in verse 9, Isaiah 46, 9, it says he will make all wars cease. Guys, war is terrible. Battles and fighting, arguing, strife. We live in a broken world. Sin came in and tainted God's creation. But God is going to make all things new through the Child King. Are you still with me this morning? The Child King is coming. He's going to bring light. He's going to bring joy. He's going to bring freedom. And he's going to bring peace. That is the prophecy of Isaiah. In a dark and hopeless time, God's word came through Isaiah to his people saying, hope in me. Not in the Assyrian army. They can't help you. Not in wicked King Ahaz. Hope in the child that God is going to bring. And we know as Scripture unfolded, guys, as we turn the pages of the Old Testament, as you flip from Isaiah towards the New Testament, the centuries pass, 700 years pass, and you get to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, would you turn there? 700 years after Isaiah, we see the Child King is born. Isaiah 9, he's promised. Luke, he's born. The birth of the Child King. We've had this read to us this morning. I want to point out a couple things. Jesus Christ is born. Luke chapter 2 tells the story. And it uses language like we just read in Isaiah 9. It's a connecting point for those two scriptures, the two passages. We see that in Luke 1, verses 30 to 33, we see that this child is the same child Isaiah promised to. Because he is both God and he is man, a king from the line of David. Look with me, he says, verse 30 of chapter 1, the angel said to Mary, do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. And behold, look, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. That means Yahweh saves. He will be great and will be called, here it is, the Son of God. Of the Most High. So there he is, his deity. He is God, God's Son. But look in the very next words. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. I thought his father was God. Do you see it? In the same verse, this child has two fathers. Do you see it? Are you with me? He's called the Son of the Most High. And then he's talked about of his father David. Which is it? Which father is the father of Jesus? Is it the Most High God or is it David? And the answer is both. He is the God-man. God is his father. He has no sin nature. He was born with a miraculous virginal conception. And he was born holy, the Son of God. And yet he was born from a line of men who came from King David. So he is qualified to inherit the throne promised to David. He is the God-man who will rule as king. Look what he says. The Lord God will give to this child the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. That is linking this passage with Isaiah, the prophecies of the Old Testament. Jesus Christ is the child king that was promised. Amen. Now I want to point out to you something that blessed me this week as we move to chapter 2. In verses 8 through 14, we saw, or verse 10, the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold," this is when the angels are talking to the shepherds. Now, by the way, get this in your mind. These shepherds, they're not holy people. They were known for being rough around the edges, okay? And so God surprisingly reveals the birth of the Savior to some scraggly shepherds outside of town. And they're watching their sheep. You guys get this picture with me? Picture a few shepherds. We don't know how many there are. And they're out with their flock of sheep in the night. They're probably trying to get some sleep. And all of a sudden, an angel appears to them. Boom! And it says that the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were, in the words of the King James Version, what? Sore afraid. They were terrified of the glory of God. Can you imagine the bright light of the glory of Yahweh shining among us right now? And these shepherds, their jaws on the floor, and they see this angel. And look what the angel says. He says, first, fear not, right? And I'm bringing you some good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Verse 11, notice these words. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This is the only place in the Bible where these three names are used of Jesus altogether. Savior, Christ, the Lord. He's the Savior. Christ is the word for Messiah, the anointed one, promised to David. And He is the Lord who rules, the Son of God. But who is this child born to? What does the angel say? Help me out, guys. Preach to me this morning. Who is the child born to? To you, he says. To you. What did Isaiah 9:6 say? To whom is the child born? To us. To us. I put that together, and as I began to look it up, lots of study Bibles make that connection. It'll say, see Isaiah 9:6 when you get to Luke 2:11. The child is born, Isaiah says, to us a child is born. To us a son is given. The angel says, to you. Why did the angel say you, not us? The angel's not a man. He didn't share in the salvation. Right? Isaiah is a man like us who needs a Savior. And he says, to us. He includes himself. The angel, Jesus didn't die for angels. So he says, to you. To you. But the point is, God didn't send His Son just for His own purposes. Brothers and sisters, look at me this morning. The child has come to you. To us. He is for us. And notice the word given. This child is a gift given from God to you, to us. What a thing God has done for us, guys. To us, a son is born. To us, a son is given. Luke 2:11. To you is born a Savior. As you continue in the New Testament, there are several places which bear out this same line of thinking that Christ has come as a gift from the Father to you, to us. Now again, if I was one of those preachers that said, turn to your neighbor and say this, here's where I would say it. Say it to you. He's born. But I want you to get that point today. The Lord has done something for you. For you. For us. You say, what has God ever done for me? I prayed for this and it didn't happen. Maybe so. God has His plans. He has eternal wisdom. I don't know why He does what He does and what He doesn't do all the time. But I know this. To you, a child has been born, a Savior. Amen? What a gift. That's what God has done for you. He has given a gift. He has given His best. He has given His Son, the child king promised from Scripture, from ages past. Can I point to you just a couple of New Testament verses, how that God gave His Son? Oh, I know you'll know them. Look at this first one. For God so loved the world that He did what? He gave. By the way, love does what? Love gives. Love gives. If you're more interested in taking from someone than giving, you don't love them. That's called lust. Love gives, and it is exemplified by the Father God. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. He gave the child promised in Scripture that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Look at Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but what? The free gift from God. The gift of God is eternal life. Where? Do you just automatically get eternal life for being born? No, it's found in Christ Jesus our Lord, in the child. Where is eternal life? Where are the blessings from God? They're in the child who has been given to us. That's why this religion over here doesn't save. And this way of God, you know, all roads ought to lead to God, we think. And no, God wants to glorify Jesus. Islam doesn't save because it doesn't glorify Jesus. God is excited about His Son. Look at His Son, He says. Come to me through my Son. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. He is the heart of the universe. The focus of all creatures. And so God has given us a gift. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare His own Son, but what? Gave Him up for us all. How will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Do you see this morning that God has loved and God has given the child, the King? Oh, I got a couple more and we'll be winding down. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, man. It is the gift of God. The child is the gift. 1 John 5:11. This is the testimony that God, what? Gave us eternal life. And this life is where? In the child. In the Son. And then He makes it plain for people like me that aren't very smart. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God, what? Does not have life. Oh, man, I love that Scripture. That spells it out, doesn't it? Well, maybe this and maybe that. No, if you've got the child, you have eternal life. If your life is not bound up in the child that God gave, you do not have eternal life. So repent. So come to the child that God has given. Amen? Come to the gift that God has given us. God loved and God provided. And I want to tell you something else that's really awesome. By giving us Christ, God gave us Himself. Let me say that again. By giving us the child, God gave us Himself. Because what does the child do but bring us to God? Look at 1 Peter 3:18. Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that He might what? Give us eternal life. Let us not go to hell. Give us your best life now. No. What is the goal of salvation in this verse, guys? Why did Jesus suffer in this verse right here? To bring us to God. God is the goal. Not eternal life. Not streets of gold. Not seeing grandpa and grandma. I can't wait to see my grandpa and grandma. But God is the goal. My heart has to hunger for God. He's the treasure. Amen? He's the joy. He is the center of all things. Is He the center of your life? Or do you have empty religion that won't save you? Do you have the child that God gave? This child is Jesus Christ. And He grew up. Jesus grew up as a man. Why did He need a body? Why did He come and take on flesh? So that He could lay His life down for sinners on the cross and pay the price for our sins and bring us to God. God loves us. God wants us. God has provided a way for us to come to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We have a gospel today to proclaim, don't we? We have a reason to come to church and to have joy. Because to us, a child has been born. To us, a son is given. To you has been born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord.
So respond to the gospel this morning, brothers and sisters. What do I do, preacher? You humble yourself. You lay down all that you've been living for. Because life is about God's glory, not you, not me. What did the angels begin to sing after they declared to the shepherds that Christ had been born? Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, hey, peace to those God is pleased with. Glory to God. Has God shown Himself to you spiritually so that you get that it's all about Him and His glory? Have you seen the beauty of Jesus Christ, the Son that's been born to us? Have you seen that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior? Today God is saying to you, that's where salvation is, in the child that I've given. Christ laid His life down on the cross, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. He died, He rose from the grave on the third day. His blood is enough. So come this morning, repenting of your sins. Come, confessing to God that you're sorry for living for your own glory rather than His. Come, agreeing with God about how awesome His Son is. Come, believing in Christ and what He did, not just for everybody on the cross, but for you, for me. Come and worship. Come and bow down. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Let's pray together. Our God, we worship You. You are the mighty God who has given us Your Son. You are the King. Father, You gave Christ to come in humility, to be born as a man, born as a baby, born as the Son of God and also the Son of Man from the line of David, qualified to rule and reign forever. Father, You loved and You gave. You saw us in our sins and You rescued us through Your Son. Father, today in this place we humble ourselves and we bow down. We acknowledge You, O God, and Your great gift. We're not qualified to judge You, O God. You are the infinite and we are finite. You are everlasting and we are a dot on the line. You are holy and we are sinners. You know all things and Lord, we don't know anything. Lord, You are mighty and we can't keep ourselves healthy. You are beautiful. We are tainted. And so, Lord, we don't come with judgments. We come with humility. And we bow down low and we give thanks that You have loved us and You have given us a son, a child, a Savior. Lord, we worship You today. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth to those You're pleased with. Father, thank You for Your love. Lord, I praise You for the salvation that is ours in Christ. We thank You for the cross where Jesus shed His blood for sinners and how He rose from the grave to give us life and hope. Lord, we put our faith in You, not in ourselves, not in other philosophies, not in kings and politicians. You are the treasure, the God who satisfies. Lord, I pray for this assembled people today. You know our hearts. Lord, if anyone here is lost, under Your wrath, in need of a Savior, unbelieving, wicked, oh Lord, You are the God who loves sinners. Would You open their eyes right now, the eyes of their heart, to see the love of God shown at the cross? That You want us, that You came for us. Touch our hearts with Your truth and Your gospel today.
that the perfect God would love us and give to us a child who would grow up and die for our sins. Worthy are you, Jesus Christ, of all the praise and glory.